live from the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo. He's unbelievable.
Nico is on fire.
Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and the guy who was just recently given the title of Mr. 20 Seconds, me, James Campbell.
Okay. Hold on. Yeah. There's a lot of questions suddenly.
What's the question?
The number one question. Wow. Is it positive or negative?
It's positive.
Okay. Then you're fine.
I'm doing my part to make sure my home state gets a grade A in social distancing during this coronavirus situation. What do you think it was about?
Okay.
He's washing his hands.
You. Wash your hands for 20 seconds. All right. No,
get your heads
enough.
Out of
Good
the
job.
Gutter, guys.
Good job. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Which gamer raised over $13,000 for charity? We'll talk about that coming up in a bit because we have some crazy rumors about everybody's favorite plumber, Mario, and what could be down the pipeline for the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. Robbie, what have you got for us?
That's right. It looks like it's about to be the year of Mario. Now, I need to preface this by saying that these are all currently rumors and leaks, but sources within the gaming industry.
So none of this has been confirmed.
Not confirmed yet, but I mean, every major... institute within gaming, Eurogamer, Gamatsu, they're already talking about it, so it's probably coming. But sources have basically said that Nintendo is looking to remaster just about every Mario game ever over the next year. And there are also some brand new sort of main title Mario games that could be in the works as well, including the next Paper Mario.
Paper Mario, baby.
Paper Mario, sweet.
Another Mario Sunshine, I think, is another one of them. Mm-hmm. The one that I'm most looking forward to, if this is real... Well, first of all, that's a lot of Mario games.
Correct.
All right, between like the beginning, the NES and up through the Wii U. But the one that I'm most looking forward to, if it's for real, is a high-definition remaster of Super Mario 64. The best Mario game of all time, outside of maybe Super Mario Brothers 3.
Come on, what about Mario Brothers 2? Why does everybody got to hate on Mario Brothers 2?
It's not even... That's
James,
absolute not real.
It's not even part of the story. I don't care. It's still one of my favorites to play.
Why?
Because you've got to choose between all those different Mario characters. The princess floats. Toad is super strong and tough.
And you throw turnips at people.
It was fun. It's one of the funnest Mario games I've played growing up. I mean, I've got some nostalgia feels.
It's not a bad game by any stretch, right? But it is the redheaded stepchild.
And I get it.
Of the Mario games, okay?
It's always going to be near and dear to my heart.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see, is this going to reignite another mascot kind of war? Because it shows that Nintendo's...
When was the last mascot war?
But that's what I'm saying. Nintendo is reinvesting, I think, in Mario right before the PS5 and the new Xbox launch.
Oh, okay. No.
I think they've got to do something
Mr. Beard. Beardo.
Right? You got a lot of nicknames now.
You're stretching it, man, because first of all, the last time there was a mascot war was between Crash Bandicoot and Mario, and guess what?
That was like 15 years ago.
Not only was that 15 years ago, that wasn't even a war, all right? Mario dunked on Crash. I'm sorry, Crash, I know you have to listen somewhere, but that was no contest. Mario survived that, and there has never been another mascot battle, war, throwdown, whatever, since then. So... War? No. Mario is the one. Mario is the gaming mascot, and no one's going to come close to it, period. He is just reasserting his dominance right now.
All right. I can see that. I just think it's really funny that Nintendo's essentially dropping this as a preeminent strike against, the PS5 and Xbox.
Now, that's what it is. But I don't know that they even see it that way because...
They got to.
No. Nintendo, I don't think, has ever saw themselves as competitors to Microsoft and Sony, because Microsoft and Sony, they're always the ones butting heads, right? PlayStation or Xbox. Because I think as gamers, usually people own a PlayStation or an Xbox.
True, but I do think that this is a way of Nintendo throwing their hat in the ring to be like, hey, we got all this big news about the PS5, the new Xbox, but don't forget about us. We're still here. We have all this great stuff coming down the work, so they're not forgotten about.
I mean, you have to understand, during this entire quarantine situation across the country, most places, Nintendo Switches are sold out. It's been the top-selling console for quite a while now, and I think it's it just shows like they're gearing up. I think somebody smells blood in the water somewhere.
Well, a lot of people were also, I think, hoping that after the Switch Lite had came out, that they would also then be planning out like a Switch Pro that, you know, had a little bit more battery power, some more memory to it. You know, it's a little bit more heftier. Mm-hmm. But we know that in a conference call or some sort of earnings call earlier this year, they said there's no plans for it. But dropping this much Mario content, you know, whether it's this year or even going into 2021, I think you're right. It's about as close as they're going to get to finding a way to contend with, you know, the new console generation that's coming out.
All right. Can't wait to see what's in store for the Super Mario 35th anniversary. We'll be sure to keep you up to date as more news leaks. But now it's time for our close shave of the week.
Time is up. Oh, my God.
Checkpoint XP's close shave. Watch it at checkpointxp.com.
G2 and FaZe Clan squared off earlier this week in ESL Counter-Strike Season 11 action. Although G2 eventually took the series 2-1, they lost the second map on Dust. Not in small part due to this huge clutch from ColdZera and this 1-versus-3 ace using his trusty Desert Eagle.
Nexa tries to swing out from Goose. Ooh. And Cold with his Deagle. Uh-oh. Looking for a little bit more. Now down to the 1v3. This is made scary by ColdZera. He's walked down two. With another Kenny and Amanek, the two players that survive. ColdZera almost on for the ace, and it's only Amanek left. Cold gets it. FaZe in 11th round. And my word, what a Deagle play.
All right, congrats to ColdZera taking that 1-versus-3 with his new sidekick, his trusty Desert Eagle.
Never miss anything again.
No way.
Stay on top of your game by heading to checkpointxp.com to get in the game.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. A new Nintendo Direct Mini was put out recently that dropped some big news about games coming to the Switch. Robbie, you have some more news for us?
That's right. So this right here, this is all confirmed. This is definitely happening. Concrete stuff here. But a bunch of really cool things coming to the Nintendo Switch. First of which is Bravely Default. This is an old school feeling sort of JRPG. You know, if you're used to like the Final Fantasies of old, you know, back to like 5 and 6, that's what you're getting out of this. It's actually a very classic throwback to it. The
Can
original.
I ask a question real quick?
Yeah, of course.
What is the difference between a JRPG and just an RPG? Not to sound like a noob.
Classy question, though.
Yes.
So an RPG is any role-playing game. A JRPG is a Japanese role-playing game. That's
okay.
So like a Final Fantasy where it's more in like...
It's got like anime feels,
yeah,
and
vibes.
Yeah,
that's a JRPG.
Well, the anime thing is something new that I think sort of modern-day JRPGs started to embrace more.
Yeah.
But Japanese role-playing games in general tend to have a heavier focus on like the grind and like leveling stuff up and just fighting monsters over
the
and over
misery.
And over again.
Yes.
Misery.
Yes.
And no, accomplishments.
Accomplishments.
But you could also say a game like Fallout is an RPG because you're role-playing somebody or a character.
But it would not be a JRPG.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Other big announcements. Who remembers pod racing from Star Wars Episode 1?
N64, baby.
And who played it on the N64? That's right. It's coming to the Switch.
Well, I hated it in the first movie when it got put out.
Well,
and
played
I
the
never
game.
Paid
no,
attention
yes,
to
yes.
the game because
the,
of the movie.
No, the movie itself. Terrible. Podcasting is great. Pod racing, yes. Terrible.
Different kind of pod.
But the one good thing that movie, that franchise brought us was in the actual game itself. It was actually really cool.
It was cool.
Really
huh?
fun. Yes. It was great. Yeah.
What kind of a racing game could you relate it to?
Wave Racer. Yes. So
the
it's
jet
like,
ski one?
Yes. So it's
yeah,
like. It's
yeah, kind of jet ski game?
Because there's speed up boost points and like, you know, it's just like characters, like you hated people and you really had to know the maps. Yeah. It's like Wave
yeah.
Racer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Other big news, too. BioShock, Borderlands, and XCOM bundles are all coming to the Nintendo Switch. These are huge franchises to be getting on the Nintendo Switch. At this point, James, once we get you a Switch, you will have no excuse not to play these games.
Okay, so have these games never been released on a Nintendo console before?
Correct.
Wow,
yeah.
Man, that is big
mm-hmm.
news.
There's a big question, though, that this Nintendo Direct Mini has kind of left with people, though. Most of these games are announced for the first half of the year. Like, they still have not said anything that's going to be for the, like, usually the big holiday title, right? The Christmas time one is their biggest one of mm-hmm. the year. Originally, it was thought to be Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, But there's no...
That's still in development. I think it's going to be a minute before we see that.
Me too, but that's interesting because what is Nintendo going to fill it with?
That's a good point. Are they going to do... their Christmas releases?
Yeah, they could do Pikmin 4. They could do Metroid Prime 4,
I'm going to put one out there. This is the crazy one I'm going to put out there, right? Because they've been working on another thing that they talked about, the Pokemon Sword and Shield Expansion Pass, which is something they've never done with Pokemon before, but, you know, it's perfect now for the Switch. I think we're going to get whatever the sequel or whatever the next Pokemon game is going to be. I think we're going to get that announced for Christmas time this year. I think holidays we're going to get like Sword and Shield 2 or something like that. What about Animal Crossing? Obviously, it's huge. It's blowing up right now. Could you see, because this is the first, you know, it's technically the sequel. We haven't had another one since
the
GameCube.
Yeah, what was the first one? First one came out on GameCube.
Yeah, so it was a while ago. Do you see, like, expansion-y type stuff coming out for Animal Crossing?
Oh, yeah. I think Animal Crossing, like...
New islands?
Yes. So, James, have you heard anything about this new Animal Crossing here?
It's taken over all my social media.
Yes.
But what I've learned from it is that you can poop in it.
You can.
You poop in it.
James.
That my first thing to do is to poop.
I think the biggest thing is that you can go and visit your friends' islands in the
newest
one.
That's actually really cool. But and multiple people. Like, I've seen, like games where, like, 7 or 8 people are, like, having, like, a barbecue in this game with each other, which is great considering that everyone has to stay in home right now. It's a great way to be able to, you know, catch up with people,
hang out with your friends, but also obey social distancing rules.
And the best part is you can play out, like, basically the most insane, unrealistic fantasy in life right now, and that's paying off multiple home loans.
And really.
So wait, don't most people play the game to escape some of life's pains in the butt?
Yes.
But so you play the game to still experience one of life's biggest pains in the butt?
No, because you can actually pay it off. I've paid off 3 home loans already. Of them, James!
Well, you're like an Animal Crossing billionaire over here.
Yeah, do you have a couple bells I could borrow?
I do not. No, you go earn your own bells.
Okay.
I want to know what Robbie's doing to earn all these bells.
Mm. My girlfriend's paid off like 5 home loans already.
What's she doing? Yeah. Whose bells is she ringing over there? But ahead next, Weird Beard is back from quarantine. If you were with us last week, you know Weird Beard was not here. He was locked up in quarantine. We had producer Callie filling in, but he's back. How did his time in lockup go? We'll find out in a bit. But first, is your family driving you nuts during the shelter-in-place order? Are your kids arguing over video game controllers? Well, we have a fun suggestion for something you can all play together. We'll talk about that next on Checkpoint XP.
Stop blowing my mind!
We're rolling with Continuous Esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness!
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Checkpoint XP with James, Robbie, and Weird Beard. Broadcasting from the Beasley Media Studios. Esports and video games live here.
Oh my God!
Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. I'm James Campbell, and along with me is Weird Beard, as well as Checkpoint XP's aspiring Animal Crossing tailor, Robbie Landis.
Oh, you saw that over the weekend,
did
you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, made myself my own. Was actually Dante from the Houston Outlaws, who's one of my favorite Overwatch players. His birthday. Over the past few weeks, and so in Animal Crossing, I made his jersey. I made myself an N7 t-shirt for Mass Effect, and I'm working on a really cool Captain Marvel hoodie. But it's really hard to get some of the colors nailed down there. But it's a lot of fun. More fun than I thought I'd be having with it.
Are you gonna leave radio to go become a seamstress somewhere?
Yeah. Well, no money has been coming in. I make some bells on the side, the currency for Animal Crossing, but that ain't paying the real bill. So probably not.
Robbie Landis, digital seamstress.
Great.
Is your family driving you nuts during the shelter-in-place order? You got your kids arguing over controllers. Maybe you're trying to get them kind of away from the video games and also still involved in kind of doing things that stimulate their mind in a positive way. We have a couple members of the Checkpoint XP crew that are avid Dungeons & Dragons players, producer Callie and Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great suggestion for you people looking for another alternative to keep your kids busy during the shelter-in-place order.
You know, over the past year or so, Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop role playing games in general have tend to you know have been on the rise. Yeah. In fact, there have been a few of the books that the New York Times bestsellers list has like highlighted a few times. And I've noticed now as well, especially during this time of self-isolation, a lot of people who maybe have had a passing interest in it, or even those who don't, are starting to try it out, especially with their families right now, and starting to realize this is actually a great way to sort of get your family together. It's basically the return of like family game night.
Yeah, except way better than family game night ever was. Fair. I don't know if you remember playing Monopoly with your parents, but I thought it was terrible. No, I think it kind of started with like Stranger Things a few years ago.
Right. That also helped as well,
which gave like a much needed like portrayal of Dungeons and Dragons in a healthy way that wasn't just like, oh my God, they're worshiping Satan or something in the basement
from like what, the '80s,
whenever
yeah,
that was.
I remember when Stranger Things came out. That's when you started hearing about a lot of the different celebrities that play it. Like,
that's right. Critical Role is one of the big ones. It's basically a live streamed version each week of a bunch of really famous voice actors that get together and play it. And that's actually one of the ones that I sort of latched onto and that got me back into playing and dungeon mastering.
And I'm glad you guys are talking about this, because I got to say, one of the things that is toughest about the quarantine thing is finding like really good like creative outlets that you can do with other people, right? It's easy to like sit, maybe you want to write something, or maybe you want to draw something if you have the talents for that. But if you want to find something to do with other people, like anything right now, it's kind of a pain. And I think Dungeons & Dragons is like what's getting our household through this right now. We're all playing Dungeons & Dragons right now.
Saved by D&D.
Yeah.
Of all things, right, to have save you. But it's nice to kind of get that kind of mental stimulation where it's something that's not just looking at the screen, because as much as a gamer as I am and as avid a Netflix person and any other kind of streamed content I'm into, boy, it feels good to look away from the screen every now and then.
Well, and with so many kids being stuck at home now, too, I know there are some parents who are trying to do like their own sort of at-home studies or homeschooling type stuff to keep some semblance of a routine going. You know, something like Dungeons & Dragons has everything that you need. There's math involved in it. There's reading, problem solving, social skills and dynamics. There's a lot of schools over the past few years that have started to adapt, after-school programs of being able to play Dungeons & Dragons. And it's something that even like introverted kids or those with social disorders are finding great use out of, and finding that they're able to sort of break out of their shell and engage a lot more with people through stuff like this.
Now, is this because they're acting more so as like a character within a story, so that they can act out as a character?
Yeah, exactly. That's part of it. And one of my favorite stories actually was one that I had read where there was a student who English was their second language, right? And Spanish was their main language that they could speak a lot more fluently. And they'd actually worked into the game that as an elf, Spanish was elvish, so they would speak in Spanish, and one of the other students who spoke Spanish and English would help translate for them. So it was an interesting way to take a real world dynamic and also adapt it into a fantasy setting so that it made perfect sense.
Rick, James, have either of you ever played D&D before?
Yes.
I have played it, but not like legitimate, like we got an actual dungeon master like Robbie or something
like someone
like
really
that.
Helping you tell a story.
Yeah, it was like
stuff.
An older brother who was like a stoner who was like, hey, you guys want to talk about wizards and go on a quest and stuff. We're like, yeah, sure, let's do that. We'll roll some dice, and we got a piece of paper out, wrote a cool nickname. I was always like Night Stalker or
Not bad.
Yeah. I had a cool like assassin names.
Yeah, Rick, your girlfriend has actually been doing like home lessons in like biology and stuff with your daughter. Is this something that you would consider like doing like an hour a day or maybe once a week having like a D&D session?
You're gonna make me sound like such an no.
Oh, you're right, because it's fun, and your daughter can't have fun. There's no fun at the Weird Beard household, guys.
She can have fun. Zone. It's just this
just
is,
not with you around.
No, this is a game that requires a lot of concentration. Like,
she would be surprised.
She's a little butterfly. She will be flitting in and out, and I would hate for that to be like, all right, roll a D20. And she's like, okay, but I want to be a unicorn now. And you're like, no, that's not how the game works. And then she's like, well, I cast Magic Missile. And you're like, you don't even have that spell. Like, I can already tell it would be.
I feel like he's played with his daughter before already.
Sounds like it.
So
yeah.
Bailey's going to have to be a changeling. Like, that's the only way that this is going to work.
But that doesn't affect what spells. No, I can kind of see what you're talking about here. But as the de facto dungeon master, which I think you'd have to be.
Absolutely.
It's up to you to keep them engaged, right? If they're wandering off and their attention's being split, that's on you. That's your fault.
I'm bad at this, and I haven't even started yet.
My question is, how easy is it to get into Dungeons & Dragons? Because you need a Dungeon Master, right?
Sure, sure. I mean, honestly, it's something that I've seen people play even just sort of like with two people. You're right. Someone does need to be a Dungeon Master. Then you need at least one player. There are a few resources you can look into. The first thing that I would recommend to sort of get a hold on sort of what exactly it is, because it's hard to visualize even when we talk about exactly how this plays out. There are a bunch of different shows you can check out to see people sort of doing it in what I would call a professional setting, but you know, not everyone's is going to play out quite that way. But again, I mentioned Critical Role. D20 Games is another great one. The Dungeon Run, and these are basically people that, you know, once a week they get together and they live stream or they turn it into a podcast, and it's just collective storytelling, right? But once you sort of watch those and get an idea of what it looks like, the things that you would need is a Dungeon Master's Guide and a Player's Handbook. Those are like the two basic things that you need. And you can even buy those digitally online, so you don't have to worry about going out to stores and picking them up. Great resource that I recommend is D&D Beyond. It's basically everything that you need in like a sort of digital compendium.
Awesome. Sounds great. Well, that... that is definitely an interesting way to get your kids' minds kind of expanded, tickle the imagination a little bit.
Tickle the imagination.
Yeah, going to tickle the imagination.
Yeah, I like that.
And to keep them occupied and out of... Actually, you're all playing together, so it's a good
family
way
to
bond as a family. Yeah. Check it out and let us know how your experience with playing Dungeons & Dragons has gone. Shoot us a tweet on Twitter at CheckpointXP. Right now, it's time for this week's Nailed It and Failed It.
From the high highs...
an absolute monster!
...to the low lows... who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
We're going to start with nailing it. One Shot Girl raises $13,472 for Gamers Outreach and then herself donates $5,000.
They're a really cool charity and thank you so much. $8,402 going to Gamers Outreach, and I am making a $5,000 donation tonight after my stream. So I have been saving up so I could do something like this. And I seriously just appreciate you guys so much. For the kids, natural, for the kids.
So this week's Nailed It goes out to streaming star One Shot Girl. She's mostly known for her Fortnite content, and during the COVID-19 crisis, she held a charity stream to benefit Gamers Outreach. She was actually able to raise $13,472, and then on top of that, donated $5,000 herself. So One Shot Girl definitely nailed it this week.
Checkpoint XP, your home for competition. Online at checkpointxp.com.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We got some news. Horizon Dawn is going to be a comic book coming soon.
Horizon Zero Dawn, that's right, which is actually one of my favorite games released within the past, probably three years ago it was. James, this actually might be something you could get behind. You are essentially, you walk around with like a bow and arrow, and it's like, you know, sort of, it's post-apocalyptic, so
okay.
Society has collapsed in on itself, and, you know, there's tribes and stuff around. But then there are robot dinosaurs and like
what?
Giant cats and like basically nature has like somehow merged with technology and it's just like it's part of nature now. And so you get to take down like giant robotic T-Rexes.
I knew robots were definitely into bestiality.
Right?
I knew
but
they had to be
thing.
Into that.
When this game first came out, when people first saw trailers, they're like robot dinosaurs and like everyone just wrote it off. This was one of the best games that came out this
year.
Robot
Dinosaurs, Transformers has a whole line
Thank
of
you.
Toys that are robot dinosaurs.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so now we, you know, we have this news that basically, you know, they're going to start expanding the world and the story through comics, which I think is a great avenue for certain games. But I wanted to get your guys's, you know, kind of opinions on this. What games or game worlds would you like to know more about or be able to sort of explore more through something like a comic series?
Wow, that's actually a crazy thought, and I never really sat down much.
I'm so, like, something like Realm Royale, which doesn't actually have a narrative or a story, but has characters in it,
yeah,
I
would love to know. That's that, yes.
What does that world
just
look
gave
like?
Me my answer.
His mind is freaking blown right now.
I'm like, well, the warrior, you know, what's the warrior's backstory?
Yeah, what do they do
what's
when they're
doing,
not Realm
you know?
Royale-ing, or
yeah.
whatever you call it? I
yeah,
don't know.
When they're not ruling the realm and, you know, turning people into chickens and then popping them into other abilities to help you win against other opponents.
Yeah, I don't really want to. I don't think I want to know Weirdbeard's story because he plays a lot of really bad games.
I do play bad games, but I would like to do a comic series of something grounded. Like, I would want, like, a dark, like, a Max Payne type, you know?
Okay, you know, that's actually cool. A game that sort of, you know, hasn't really found a lot of success more recently, and instead of trying to come out or reboot it,
yeah.
you'd rather just see it continued through a comic series.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like the Matrix. You can't remake a Matrix movie in 2020 mm-hmm. because the effects have been done. It's not mind-blowing
yeah,
anymore.
And not everyone can be a God of War 4 that comes back and redefines the entire genre, basically.
Exactly, so don't do it. Just stay as a comic book. I'll like the property and mm-hmm. be totally cool with it.
All right, what games would you like to see turned into comics? Let us know on social media. You can find us on Twitter at CheckpointXP. Coming up, a video game retailer is in the news yet again.
Oh, God.
For more bad reasons. We'll let you know what's going on in a bit. But first, Weird Beard, like we said earlier, is back from quarantine. What kind of shenanigans went on in his house? We're going to find out next when we return on Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're rolling with continuous esports on the only show for esports and video games.
This is gonna be absolute madness around.
No need for extra tokens. We've got the hookup. Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and video games. You're hanging with me, James Campbell, as well as Robbie Landis, and one half of the father-daughter Just Dance Coronavirus Home Quarantine Champs, Weird Beard.
The worst part about that is my kid uses Just Dance as a jukebox, so she'll just listen to a song until you yell at her, and then she'll be like, fine, I'll dance it, and then she won't dance it still, so you have to dance it with her to stop listening to that same song.
So
over
the
and
only
over.
Way to stop the torture is to do the dance.
Yeah, it's definitely like a horrible, horrible negotiating tactic, but it wins every time.
We should have a lot more stuff like that, though. To know what James is talking about, you know, make sure that you're following us on social media, Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. His girlfriend actually has promised me that she would send me more sort of incognito videos like that for us to use on social media.
Perfect.
So if you want to see what goes on in the Weird Beard household, make sure you're following us.
We have a mole inside the house. All right, so last week, if you were with us, Weird Beard was not able to make it in. He kind of came into contact with somebody who kind of came into contact with somebody with the coronavirus. So to be safe, he was put on quarantine. But he's back with us this week. We're sure a lot of shenanigans have gone down in the home. But now it's time for Tales of the Weird Beard.
So it's been hard.
Yeah. I have a loving significant other and an energetic child at home, both who love and rely on me. It's so hard. Boo-hoo.
You know what? Normally you'd expect me to come on here and complain about the kid more. Hell no.
Uh-oh.
We've made some bad choices. And one of them happens to be my girlfriend quitting smoking while we do this.
That's a good
choice.
What
do you mean bad? Yeah, that's a good choice. That's you should be choice. Supporting her
let
in
me,
that endeavor.
Let, I absolutely try to support her, but I will tell you, we had a knockdown, drag-out fight at 3 a.m. the other day. Oh. At one point where I'm laying in bed and I'm getting screamed at saying, I would rather die than never smoke a cigarette again.
Well, then let her have one smoke.
What did you? Yeah, she just had to go cold turkey.
But this is how, okay, I cannot tell this woman how to quit. I can just go, what can I do to help you? What can I do
sure.
to help you?
Okay.
And she's one of those people to where she puts herself in the worst possible situation while trying to do something and then goes, see, it's impossible. You can't do it. I don't know how to like possibly do this. Like, I even went out and before I got quarantined, I had bought close to $150. Ooh. Of Nicorette and the patches, and I got every option available because I did not want to have it be told to me, hey, there's just no, I can't chew the gum. Sorry, if we had patches. So
you made sure you were
wow,
covered on all
yeah.
the bases.
Yes. Okay.
Do you even get like a prescription drug that might cause her to want to jump off a building or not sleep at night?
Chantrix. We've tried that okay. and we're waiting on it. But it's been, so not only is she quitting smoking and then the kid has decided that she doesn't like doing schoolwork anymore and that's always fun. time just moves slowly.
It's a construct.
Yeah, it's not real. Like, what are we doing? What is humanity even like? Because I just crawled out of literally sitting in a room for 2 weeks. And you guys are the first human beings I've talked to. It's been chaos. It's been chaos.
Just by the look of your hair.
I feel so like I was just released from a prison somewhere.
Have you thought about gamifying it for her in some way? Like, you know, figuring out some way to like reward her if she goes like a full day without smoking anything. That way she has something to look forward to.
Like a treat.
Yeah, because I mean I don't want to like make it like she's a pet. But look, she's giving up something. She's giving up something that she relies on, right? So and this idea of what she gets out of it is just being healthy, but like what is that really? Like, when do you get that? It's like some obscure thing that you don't actually really get to have.
Give her a back rub, you know? When she goes a whole day without a small, obviously, give her a back rub or a foot rub.
Right now, you can't like take her out to dinner or anything like that again because of the isolation and the quarantine and stuff. But I mean, is that something that you've thought about doing instead of just yelling at her at 3 a.m.?
I don't yell. It was one of
you
those.
You just said you had a knock down.
I find it hard to believe he doesn't
drag
yell.
Out fight.
Here's the way.
And then he's like, but I don't yell.
I didn't. No, I didn't. Every time she was on, you know, sometimes when like your significant other just wants to pick a fight. So you could even just be like, hey, peanut butter goes with jelly. And she'd be like, are you stupid? And that's how it turned into, because I came down and I fixed the sink that she'd been complaining about for weeks. I fixed it.
Okay.
And she goes,
hold on.
Did you have to do that right now?
Wait.
Was this at the 3 a.m. argument? Were you fixing the sink at like 2 o'clock in the morning?
She was doing dishes at 3 a.m. like a crazy person.
Oh,
you expect me to believe that you finally did something that she asked you to do that you'd probably been putting off for weeks, if not months.
Yes.
And then when you finally did it, she had a problem. I feel like we're only getting half the story.
Yeah,
here.
Well, we are. We're only getting the Weird Beard side of the story.
Okay.
All right, not exactly how we thought Weird Beard's quarantine was going to go, but hopefully he'll help his girlfriend reach those health goals she's got set for herself. All right, much like Weird Beard's girlfriend trying to quit smoking, I'm sure a lot of people have tried to quit things before, whether they did it successfully or not. I know I, for one, have quit smoking probably 3 or 4 times.
Oh.
I pick it up and I put it down. I pick it up and I put it down, but I finally... I would like to say I'm completely smoke-free. I've been smoke-free. Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations,
thank you.
James.
Definitely been smoke-free. Probably, I'd say, getting close to a year now.
Okay. I mean, how difficult was it for you? And like, did you try different avenues, like what Weird Beard's trying with his girlfriend?
Kind of. So my game plan was I'm going to switch to a healthier smoke.
Vaping.
So I switched brands. Oh. And then I went to vaping.
So it was a gradual process.
Yes. And then I realized I was smoking the most in my car. I was like, how many cigarettes can I smoke in my car from point A to point B? I'm going to smoke as many as I possibly can.
Like a race? Like you're just against yourself?
Trying to set a new record each time?
Like, smoking is one of those weird habits. I know people are like, oh, you don't look cool when you do it. I could not feel cooler than when I'm smoking. And I don't know why that is. I for whatever reason, I enjoy it, but I just know it's so bad for me. And I finally got the motivation to quit from John Cena.
Really?
John Cena. Because the way he lives his life, every single minute of his life, he has kind of planned out to do something worthwhile. Like, he doesn't have any time where he just sits on the couch mindlessly, like, doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he goes and does stuff. So when he has a free time, he goes and learns Mandarin, or he goes and he works out, or he goes and he does something.
He always, like, has a goal that he's aiming
for.
Yes.
And I pictured John Cena telling me that I have no discipline and ridiculing me. And every time I think about having a cigarette. I know it's the weirdest thing you guys
have. No. I'm totally into it.
This is great.
But, like, this is the only way I could get, I could do it. Because I was like, how does John Cena...
What would John Cena think?
Exactly. I was like, what would John Cena do? And I would and I tell people this, and they look at me like I'm such a nut job, and I get it.
I mean, you are, but it's still great. And it works, right?
That's how I've done it. I haven't smoked in almost a year.
Wow.
Just going on the John Cena thing.
You hear that, John Cena? I wish we could get John Cena on the phone right now.
Well, you can't see him. Maybe we could talk to him. That'd be great. If you could see him in person and you could congratulate me.
You know,
you had some struggles quitting.
Well,
too,
the only thing that I ever tried to quit was caffeine in pop, soda pop, right? I drink a lot of sugar, and there's one time where I was kind of on a health kick. I was trying to work out and just promote healthier living, and I had gone probably 6-7 months without any sort of pop or sugar in any way. And I was also working out at the time as well, and I didn't notice any like weight loss or anything. Like, I wasn't noticing much of a change at all.
Like, you were still going, like, plateauing?
Yeah, or something. I mean, maybe I didn't change enough of my diet, but, you know, I'd mentioned, you know, with your girlfriend, like she doesn't have anything that she can work towards except, like, this idea of what's healthy. And so that's kind of what I fell into is I'm like, what am I really doing then? Why am I giving up delicious, refreshing, ice-cold Coca-Cola if it's not actually changing anything? So I went back to drinking it.
What have you tried to quit? Did you find success in it? Let us know on social media. You can find us on Twitter at CheckpointXP. Coming up, GameStop is making news yet again, and not for good reasons. What's going on with them this time? We'll find out next on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Since COVID-19 has wrought havoc on the esports scene, I'll be letting you know what's being played and what's been canceled. Starting in the Overwatch League, there will be no homestands for the foreseeable future. All matches will be played online. Turning our attention to the spring split of the League of Legends LCS, matches are once again being played online. The spring split finals are planned to be held at the LCS studios, and Monday Night League has been suspended until further notice. The Capcom Pro Tour has canceled their stop in Brussels this month, with the next scheduled event being Armor Break on April 25th in Toronto. April 18th was supposed to play host to the Mix-Up in Lyon, France. However, that event has been postponed until July 18th. May should have played host to DreamHack Dallas. However, that event has now been moved to August 14th through the 16th, shortly after the rescheduled DreamHack Summer. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. You can find that over at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
All right, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You've got me, James Campbell, along with Weird Beard, and the host of Checkpoint XP's Overwatch and Overwatch League dedicated show, The Owl's Nest, Robbie Landis. Are you happy to finally get some action to talk about?
Oh, tell me about it. That's all I did all weekend long. Like, there were even 3 and 5 a.m. matches that were going down that the Chinese teams were playing over on their side. Didn't stay up to watch them, but when I woke up, I was watching those on VODs on one screen and watching the current match that was going like on the other one, just had one muted at any one time. So, yeah, it's nice that Overwatch is finally back.
Are you ready for the if they ever develop, like, an Overwatch-themed red zone, you know, where they have all the games on the screen?
Oh, hi. I don't know if I could go quite that far, but what I have been waiting for is for Blizzard to release their like official like Overwatch fantasy, you know, like draft type system. There's a lot of like, you know, independent ones out there, but they don't really feel good enough, you know? So I need me some fantasy Overwatch in my life.
Dude, you're addicted.
A little bit.
He's definitely addicted. If you're addicted too, make sure you check out the Owl's Nest at checkpointxp.com. Now, GameStop is making the news yet again for more bad reasons. What's going on with them now? Robbie.
Yeah, so, you know, last week we had talked a little bit about some of the bad press they've been getting, but they had, you know, actually decided, you know, as a company-wide to finally shut their stores down. Some bad news coming through is that apparently 300 of those stores will stay closed permanently, just the latest in all the cuts that they're having to make to try and stay viable in some way, shape, or form. But on top of that, the Boston Globe is reporting that some in the company, I believe it was a district leader, had basically given new sort of rules to some stores in their district in order to stay open. And they basically instructed the employees that, first of all, customers could do curbside pickup, right? They could order online and then come in and pick it up to where you seal the bag and you hand it out the door, basically. But no one's allowed to come inside. This is where it gets weird. They were also allowing customers curbside shopping to where you could come up and tell them what you wanted. And they were then instructed to tape one of the GameStop plastic bags to their hand, pull it inside out so it's working as like a glove, basically.
Okay.
You open up the door just enough to reach your arm out to take their credit or their debit card. Then you go inside, you scan it, you ring up their order, you put the stuff in the bag, and then take it off your arm and seal it up, and then push it back out the door. And if they did that, they were allowed to remain open. Not by the state standard. The government saying, close down, you're not essential, stay closed down. But apparently some GameStops are doing this in order to stay open.
I think the biggest thing that you kind of took from, or when I took, what I took from it, was that they knew that if they closed the stores, that was it. They're not done. Yeah,
this
they're
like
not
the final
reopening
death blow here.
So
the
like,
fatality.
Yeah, like I get everybody ragging on them for still staying open, but I think they just know that like, hey, we're going to try to keep these people employed for as long as possible, because once they close, they're done. They're not reopening. Those jobs are gone. That's it. And the bigger thing too is like, we're now going to see with so many like digital releases being pushed out, with so many people having to buy games digitally, possibly for the first time, how many customers are they really losing, like in future customer sense? How many are they losing forever?
Well, first of all, it's not just about the games. You know, yeah. GameStop has been trying to sort of pivot, you know, what their sort of role in the market is for a while. But I think the reason, because I'm like, what, just end it. Like, just find a way, declare bankruptcy, do whatever it is that corporations do to save their money and screw the little guy. Just get it over with. But I think the reason they're holding off is because we're so close to this next console generation. And I think a lot of them believe that, you know, the PS5 and the Xbox Series 1S version, not whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think that they're hoping, or that they truly think, that this next console generation will maybe at least give them enough of a bump to help push that transition into, you know, the sort of esports lifestyle, you know, sort of social gathering space is that they want the future of the store to be.
I think, like, James, when was the last time you went in and bought a physical game?
Oh, me? Oh, man. I buy physical games all the time. I'm trying to think of the last physical game that I actually bought, because I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy that. I think it's Outer Worlds.
I actually, when I can, obviously with the quarantine, I haven't been able to, but yeah. I always buy physical games when I can, because I know there's something about knowing that this is what I own, there's nothing on that disc,
it's
and you're
proof.
Still downloading
That's
the whole game anyway. But it is. Yeah. It's nice.
The next question I would have is, are you brand agnostic in the sense of, like, video games are now being sold everywhere. You can go to Walmart and buy a video game if you want to.
You know,
do places like a GameStop that sell only video games, is that a place where you have to go now anymore, or are you just people just going to buy video games where they can buy video games?
It's weird, because I wouldn't consider myself, you know, dedicated or loyal to GameStop, but that is the place that I go when I need to buy one. I've still bought them from Walmart or Myers. But the thing is, even though I still kind of hold that same sort of negative mentality about, you know, the GameStop of yore in my head, I actually do still enjoy going to GameStop since they've pivoted to more, like, merchandise.
Oh, yeah, they got great toys.
They got cool
shirts,
things.
There's a lot
the
of,
issue is, yeah. though, is that they're still too expensive. You know, I like the Overwatch Nendoroid and Figma figures, the ones that you can, like, pose in different ways and other detachable, like, customizable things.
Yeah.
I love those things. But when you go into GameStop, they are twice as much as they are online, like at Amazon, even if they're clearanced at GameStop. So I love to go in and see all these things that I'd love to buy. Way too much money, though.
All right, so if GameStop can stay afloat a little bit longer, maybe get that boost from the new next-gen consoles coming out. And plus, they just brought on Reggie Fils-Aimé, the big name guy from Nintendo.
From former president of Nintendo America, that's
yeah,
right. Yeah,
he really helped Nintendo kind of spin around a little bit, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
From the Wii U to what they're doing now with the Switch.
Correct.
So do you think there's still a chance that if GameStop survives this, that they'll still be around? Is there anything they can do to still bring people in to shop at the stores?
There's a part of me that I feel like you look at this and you're like, why haven't you just shut your doors yet, right? But I do think that within the company, I don't think it's a matter of, you know, we just want to get as much money as we can. I think that they really do want to turn around their brand name. You know, there's these new stores that, remember, earlier this year we had saw reports of and sort of designs around,
yeah,
where they want to turn into more of like what you see at your local game shop, right? They want to get people in doing tabletop stuff, you know, doing tournaments and having like this sort of social setting, which obviously right now isn't something that can happen, but, you know, they have to find a way to stay afloat in order to make that transition.
I think that, like, they wouldn't have brought him on if he was just going to tank.
I don't think he would have came on unless he thought he could change
Somebody's got to have some sort of a big, grandiose idea.
I think they just have to get through, because when they obviously did it, this is not a deal that was cracked over a weekend.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So this has been in the works, I think, with our current COVID situation.
Yeah, they probably weren't expecting the whole coronavirus to happen.
But I don't think it's going to short circuit what they plan to do. It just may either put it farther out in the future, or, you know, they're going to have to, like, closing 300 stores is the thing that's going to bring them back to being a solvent business.
You know, what actually might end up working out for them, if they end up having to close more and more stores, and whatever it is that the new GameStop ends up looking like, if it really sort of hits off, mm-hmm. and then having it be something that's really rare, something you have to travel to get to, the sort of limited distribution of it might actually help to sort of skyrocket.
They gotta find a way to make GameStop a destination, like a gamer's destination.
Exactly. Like, what are the one or two things that have to be in it, James, for you to want to go into a GameStop?
They better have anything and everything that I'm gonna want to purchase at that moment. No calling other stores to see if they have the things and send me the other way. And I love when they have systems set up to play.
That's such an underrated little thing.
I love it.
It's great.
It's the best way for me to take a test drive of a game or a new console.
Well,
and if they
and
have
there's
something
the
like
caveat.
That,
not because they'll have like a system set up, but you need to be able to try other games along with it.
Any game I want, I need to be able to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe something like that. Maybe that'll turn around things for GameStop. Who knows? We'll keep you updated on what's going on with GameStop, if they're still going to be in business next week. Who knows? But coming up, a huge upset in the esports world last weekend. Which Overwatch team has earned the not-so-honorable title of our Failed It this week? We'll let you know in just a little bit, because Checkpoint XP producer Callie is going to join us again for a fun little game of catchphrase. Which member of the show will walk out of here a winner? Find out next on Checkpoint XP.
Checkpoint XP with James, Robbie, and Weirdbeard. Broadcasting from the Beasley Media Studios. Esports and video games live here.
Oh my gosh!
Checkpoint XP.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the Checkpoint XP studios.
He's about to pull off the Alamo! He's unbelievable! Nico is on fire! Oh my goodness, how does he do this?
On radio's number one show for esports and competition, Checkpoint XP Radio, a Beasley esports product.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Robbie Landis, Weirdbeard, and someone who has spent more time this past weekend stuck in a Call of Duty Warzone Easter egg hole on YouTube than he cares to admit, me, James Campbell.
How are you going to rank Warzone? Where is it at?
It's my number 2 favorite game right now.
Whoa,
my number 2 favorite game. And I got sucked into these YouTube holes watching people show all these Easter eggs. Did you know there's 12 hidden bunkers in there?
No.
Did you know there's phones that at some point you'll be able to use? Did you know that there's computers at some point you'll be able to use?
You have been in a rabbit
hole. I am so obsessed with the game. I want to know what the story. Like, why are these things, why are these elements in there? What are they going to lead to?
I imagine your room just like a corkboard with all kinds of newspaper
strings and pictures of video games.
He's Charlie Day from Always Sunny.
My brain is a mess. All right, time for a little fun and games here on Checkpoint XP. We got Checkpoint XP producer Callie joining us for a little game of catchphrase. I'm going to send that over to Rick. Explain the rules.
So, catchphrase is a game where we have a list of words. I've got to try to get you, my partner, James, to guess what I am guessing. I can't say the word. Every correct one
You're
is
showing
worth
me a whole
one
list
point.
Of words I'm trying to not focus on right now.
All right, there one point. Unless maybe I'm
trying to give us an advantage.
We've got like 45 seconds with a timer. It's going to be Callie and Robbie versus James and I. Would you guys like to go first?
No, we're gonna let you go first, but I wanna make this interesting. I'm gonna throw a little wager in here. I think that the losing team has to go home and they gotta diva themselves up, the character from Overwatch, and I need you guys, because it's gonna be you who's gonna lose, but I need you guys to do a diva style selfie that you're gonna put out on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter.
This is the challenge, huh?
This is the challenge. Do you accept?
He knows I'm a noob. He knows I'm gonna get a lot of these probably wrong.
No, we're getting them right.
It's also the reason I put you with Rick, because he's terrible at this game. whenever you guys are ready, I will start the countdown.
Because that's what John Cena would do.
All right, remember, these are video game terms. We don't have to describe them as video game terms, but the answer is a word used in video games. James, are you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go. It's a thing that they use in war. It's the big...
A gun.
No, it's a big machine. Tank. Yes. The superhero, not Skip. Okay, so it's the... You spray it to kill bugs.
Bug spray.
Yeah, but it's a kind of brand.
Raid.
Yes, okay. So if I'm going to break into your computer, I'm going to be
Hack.
A... Yes, there
Hacker.
You go. I'm blanking behind. It's like it's slow. I can't
Latin.
Play. Yes. My phone is a blank phone. Like, where's it go? You're able to go around with it. It's blank gaming. You play it on your phone.
I pass.
All right. An order from McDonald's, like a blank number 4.
Happy Meal.
No, it's like, what is it?
Supersize.
Another name of all of it?
Value. A meal?
Combo.
Oh, combo.
You guys got 4.
All right. We missed Spawn. I skipped that one. Mobile.
Mobile.
It was what I was trying to get you to guess on that. And combo, we also did not get.
Oh, man, that counted on the end. That gets pretty intense, doesn't it?
Yeah, because as soon as that kicks in, I'm like, oh!
All right.
I got like 3.
All right, Callie,
we
got to
get
ready,
one every 9
ready to
seconds.
Show them? Yeah, let's do it. Ready?
Oh, my God.
Well, 3. Okay. So just so everyone understands what we have to do, I'm going to give you clues to try and guess the words that are written on this piece of paper. I haven't seen them before.
They're gaming related.
They're gaming related. I haven't seen them before. For all I know, Rick gave me a bunch of impossible ones. I don't know. You have to guess as many of them as you can. We got to get 5 to win.
Easy.
And make them do a diva selfie.
Easy.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1.
When someone keeps respawning and you keep killing them?
Spawn camping.
Yep. When someone's being a jerk, you...
block them.
You don't want to hear them anymore. So
mute.
You, yes. When you want to beat someone really quick, so you just go over to their base. Pass. When you level up, you need to gain blank points.
Experience.
Yes. The final enemy in a level.
Boss.
Yes.
What?
And see. Pass on that one. Super Smash Bros.
Melee.
There's 6.
Boom. Gonna stop that. We have to run it out. Champions.
Like they,
they had very easy words.
Much easier words.
Is that like frame cancel?
Yo, you were the one who came up with these words. He's over there like, oh, like they're surprising him.
Because those are the ones I was supposed to have.
Okay. I was supposed to get your list.
Kelly, you picked the wrong list.
Yeah, well, next time you can pick who gets which list.
We'll be looking forward to you guys' diva selfies.
Yes, well, congratulations to Team Robbie and Callie. They won this edition of Catchphrase, a video game-themed catchphrase. Look for the diva selfies of Weird Beard and myself soon to be posted on Checkpoint XP social media. So make sure you go check that out. So with the game behind us, now it's time for this week's Failed It.
From the high highs.
An absolute monster.
To the low lows.
There you go for more.
Who nailed it and who failed it on Checkpoint XP Radio.
It's time for the Failed It. You heard the Nailed It earlier with One Shot Girl getting that huge donation. This time, we're talking about the 2019 Overwatch League Grand Champions, the San Francisco Shock. They were an absolute force to be reckoned with last year, and after dropping one match in the playoffs, went on to win every single map thereafter. They have the exact same starting lineup this year, and while they won their first game back in February, this weekend they went 0-2, losing to the Los Angeles Gladiators and the rookie roster of the Los Angeles Valiant.
The San Francisco Shock fall. It's their second match in a row they've lost, and, well, it's got to sting even more that it's to both Los Angeles teams, one after another. The balance of power here in Overwatch is shifting, and it happens to be away from the Shock.
Man, I don't even know what to say about this. Like, I was watching all weekend long, and
yeah.
It's like they weren't in control at all. When they came out against the Los Angeles Gladiators, their MVP from last year, Sinatra, wasn't in the lineup, and they kind of got demolished the first 2 maps. When they finally put him in, they started, like, you know, making more strides, but they just fell behind, and I don't know who these players are that they put out on the stage anymore, but they're not the same ones from last year.
Do you think they were just too comfortable sitting up at the top last year?
Man, I don't even know what it could possibly be. I mean, it's a brand new meta. Things are a lot more fluid now. There's not like one single composition that everyone is like, this is what you have to play to be the best, but they're usually pretty adaptive. I don't know what their problem was.
Well, maybe they'll be able to figure out all the kinks and get things back on the road to victory the next time they play. So that's your Failed It the San Francisco Shock.
Checkpoint XP, your home for competition. Online at checkpointxp.com.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Now, gamers have been waiting a very, very, very long time, years, for a Half-Life 3 from Valve. We got some news. Weirdbeard, do we have a Half-Life 3 on the horizon?
No.
What?
But we do have a brand new virtual reality game called Half-Life Alyx.
Oh, that's even worse. No one plays VR.
How dare you?
Well, let me say this.
Well,
first,
am I wrong? Play VR. How much?
I agree with Robbie, but yeah. I will say this was a great VR game. It was one of the very first VR games I've ever played outside of maybe like a Beat Saber, which is kind of like a rhythm-based game.
See, yeah. that's the problem with VR is even the good ones are just like little party game.
No, listen
stuff.
Though. This game was really good. It had really good mechanics. Like to reload your gun, you have to take the clip out of your backpack. So you have to go like reach behind your back here and then put it into a
wow,
gun like
does it?
All right, other
that's
games have tried, but other games have tried to do that, but it always feels clunky and weird.
No, this feels smooth. It's not the penultimate like VR game. There will be better VR games that come out at some point, but for where it's at right now, this is absolutely at the top of the list of virtual reality.
Does it?
Games.
Does it still have the weird disembodied hands?
Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
I will never get over that. That is the worst part.
What's wrong with the disembodied hands?
It takes me out of it. There's no immersion. No, my hands are just floating around in front of me.
It's funny, though, because, like, James, I don't think you haven't played any Half-Life games,
have
you? I
have not played any Half-Life
games. So the very first Half-Life game was, like, the quintessential PC game that a lot of gamers have played for the longest time. It's one of the earliest ones.
Didn't Counter-Strike spawn out of a Half-Life mod?
Yes, it did. And there's lots of, like, it was the beginning of Valve's dominance as, like, a video game company, right? So they, every time they put out a Half-Life game, they go, we only make a Half-Life game if we think that there's, like, a new thing to be told. So they're very, like, protective of this IP. They're very, like, we want to make this a good game. So they, you can tell, they put polish into this. Like, not all, it's about like kind of like head crab zombies. They're these like alien things that jump on your head and turn you into a zombie thing. And it's great. It's really freaking good. So it's like the VR is suited for that, because if it was like a very fast action game where you're running everywhere and you're like shooting all kinds of millions of people at everything, it would be chaos. But because it's like slower and kind of a little bit more methodical and not as like chaos inducing, it's a really good fit, man.
So is this more like a puzzle solving type game? Like
both.
Rick and Morty and like the Batman VR game? I feel like it's all you go into a crime scene, you're trying to solve puzzles.
Kind of. There are puzzles within it, but there's also, like I said, lots of gun mechanics. Like you're shooting, you have to be able to shoot enemies and aim in space and stuff like that. And Half-Life 2 is known because it had a lot of physics puzzles, because you had a gun that could pick up like saw blades and shoot them at stuff and whatnot. But I don't know. This game is if you like some puzzles, if you like some shooting mechanics, or if you just like virtual reality games in general,
so
it would be a
recommend. Would this be a good thing or a bad thing for people waiting for the Half-Life 3? Is this going to like give those gamers that fix?
That it's like going to McDonald's and ordering a burger with no onions and extra cheese and instead getting a six-piece nugget back.
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's not what I asked for.
Because Half-Life 2, I think, ended with that cliffhanger, people don't just want another Half-Life game. They want to know what's next in the story. For me, man, I don't know. I was a very early adapter of VR. I got the PSVR like as soon as it was available. And the games I played on are fine, but they're games that aren't made for VR. So it's just like a novelty. And until we really get a good like AAA game that really shows you and takes benefit of what VR is all about,
it's
man.
It's this game, baby.
I don't know, but it's only on PC.
For now,
so
yes. Yes.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm not sold yet.
James, are you interested in virtual reality at all?
100%, yes.
Really?
100%. I've played the PlayStation virtual reality console or whatever. I've played Rick and Morty. I have not had more fun than hanging out in Rick's garage doing all his chores. Like, to me, that was a blast. Like, I honestly forgot that I'm in my house. All right, well, Half-Life Alyx bridged that gap from where VR could be to what it is now. Coming up next, Robbie's going to check gaming headlines. What do you got coming up, Robbie?
One of the most dominant teams from League of Legends in the past few years has been knocked out of contention for the LCS Spring Split.
Wow. We'll hear about all that next on Checkpoint.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
XP.
Checkpoint XP with James, Robbie, and Weird Beard. Broadcasting from the Beasley Media Studios. Esports and video games live here.
Oh my God!
Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I'm James Campbell, and along with me is Robbie Landis and Checkpoint XP's resident slime rancher, Weird Beard.
No, I'm sorry. What?
He's not this resident slime rancher?
I am.
What is slime ranching?
It's the most chill game that I'm currently playing. It's just like Animal Crossing, except there's no bills. It's just slime. It's slime. Slime's
okay.
Everywhere.
Okay, I thought maybe slime. This had something to do with Pornhub making their premium service free worldwide. Okay.
Ooh, it's a different kind of slime rancher, I think. All right, with the coronavirus keeping so many people cooped up at home following the shelter-in-place orders that most states have put in place, have you been gaming nonstop? Well, we're going to talk gaming binges in a bit, but first.
Hey! Oh! The guy is unreal.
My goodness!
Here's another esports gaming update with Robbie Landis on Checkpoint XP Radio.
A few weeks ago, Square Enix announced that shipments of the Final Fantasy VII Remake could be impacted by the COVID-19 crisis. So in order to try and counter any release disruptions, they actually shipped the games early to Europe and Australia, and some of them may end up getting these as an early result. The game's producer, Yoshinori Kitase, is urging fans not to spoil the game in case anyone does get it extra early. Because look, I'm not going to be surprised if GameStop, again, trying to make a quick buck, breaks their sort of street date release and ends up selling these a little bit earlier than they were supposed to.
Is this the biggest release of the year?
Ooh, it's either going to be this or Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah,
wow, really? Final Fantasy VII Remake is going to be that big of a title?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well, because you also have to remember that only the first quarter of the original game is this game. But there's enough here to be a full-length game. So a lot of people are like, oh, it's a game that came out, you know, back in 1997. Like, people have played it. There's no spoilers.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, if the game already came out, what could be spoiled?
Because they've put more content into it to help flesh out the world. Yep. So there will still be some spoilers in it. So the first person who spoils this game for me...
Yeah.
Oh, they're getting the hands. I don't care about no five
like
rules.
A challenge.
Like, it's going down. James.
I'm putting a bounty on. Anybody
James?
Can give me some inside scoop
James?
On Final Fantasy VII so I can ruin it for Robbie?
You don't even want it, James. We're moving on.
I'm going to put you guys in your own corners.
If you were one of the gamers in your life, have noticed a decrease in downloading speed on the PlayStation Network, it's not just you or your internet connection. Sony announced its plans to reduce download speeds to reduce stress on the internet infrastructure during this global pandemic. Streaming providers Netflix, YouTube, Disney+, Amazon, and Apple have also taken similar precautions.
So this is legit? All the gaming due to the stay-at-home order?
Well, it's not just,
orders,
I mean, it's not just gaming. Like, I saw a tweet going around where someone's like, you gamers need to watch how much... stop, all right?
Here's a stat. Here's some stats because I was talking about this the other day. Netflix uses 15% of the entire internet's bandwidth, right?
What?
Yes.
Wow.
Because, well, think about it. Video is such a big file to be able
but,
to
but
do.
If you would have said streaming platform, like video streaming, but Netflix alone?
Yes.
Netflix alone, 15%.
And of the internet?
Yes, the internet as a thing. They've actually, them and Hulu and a bunch of other streaming services have actually downgraded so that you can't watch in super high quality video anymore just because...
No 8K or 4K watching?
Yeah, because it is so massive. So I think it's kind of an overreaction, but like, whatever,
I mean, it's
man.
Good that they do before it goes down
or
something, right? I get it. The Overwatch League returned last weekend with online play in 10 total matches. The league will start to make up all their missed games from the past 8 weeks, including the debut matches from teams that haven't played yet. But one team will still remain MIA. The New York Excelsior have announced they'll be temporarily pulling out of the Overwatch League due to New York's current stay-home orders from the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, New York's got it real bad in terms of coronavirus and getting around.
Well, I also heard too that the Vancouver Titans, who you know you're so far team of choice from the Overwatch League, were supposed to play this weekend. They also didn't play. I've heard that both them and the London Spitfire, being primarily South Korean teams, that the reason they didn't play is they're actually relocating to South Korea amidst this pandemic.
Well, now, Robbie, you host an Overwatch specific show called Owl's Nest. And you've gotten bumped by the news a few times, like two weeks in a row.
Yeah, it's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, hopefully here's some fewer changes in the future and things get to at least a semi-normal schedule.
Well, the dream is over for Team Liquid. They've won every split since the beginning of the franchise model in the LCS. However, with a loss to Cloud9 over the weekend, they've now been eliminated from contention this spring. Many apologists will look towards the weird situation with COVID-19, but the truth runs much deeper than that. Team Liquid has never looked right this year, and the question now will be whether this was just a one-off or a sign of things to come.
Now, James, do you remember us talking about a guy named Double Lift a little while ago?
Yes.
So, to catch you up in case you're not sure who
Double Lift... Was he the drama king that kept bouncing around from a couple different teams, or is this a
different gamer? I don't know that I'd call him a drama king.
Yeah, but he's essentially the Tom Brady, right? Yeah. Like, he's the GOAT of this esport. He's essentially the one that's been known as the guy. And it seems like Team Liquid, the team that he plays for, has actually done better this year when he hasn't been playing on their team.
Oh, that's not good news for Double Lift.
No, so there's a lot of just kind of behind-the-scenes stuff to where, yes, they can blame it on COVID-19 and the situation with that, but there seems to be something deeper. Whether it is Double Lift or just another catch in the system that's happening, there is 100% an apple in there that's spoiling the barrel.
Nevada became the first state to legalize betting on esports earlier this week when gaming regulators approved sports books to accept wagers for Season 11 of the Counter-Strike ESL Pro League.
Now, I will tell you, as somebody who watches ESL, they've already been doing bettings for a long, long time per matches.
Oh, really?
Just not like actual betting.
Not for any real cash.
Well, they have real cash, but it's like through websites. It's through third-party stuff. Like, it's not true esports betting, like to where I can walk into a casino and
a gaming association approved.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, even Nevada right now with all of the casinos, you know, shut down, you're still not walking in. But I definitely believe that if it wasn't for the COVID crisis and all those casinos shutting down, I don't think this would have happened as quickly as it has.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
There's no sports. There's nothing to bet on. So,
exactly.
Hey, esports is up. It's alive. It's well.
Yes.
Let's get some of that money.
And it's funny because they show the odds before every single match. So it's been kind of ingrained in the community already. I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, is this a real moneymaker? Do people actually make, like, buku bucks from betting on stuff like this? Or is it just kind of like a ha-ha funny thing where, hey, you can throw away some money if you want to?
Now, do you have to be in Nevada to place a bet?
I have no idea.
We should put some bets down.
I'm not a gambler, guys. I barely have enough money as it is. Can't be throwing it down the drain.
I'll peel off a few bucks. We should place a couple bets.
I'm in, James.
Yeah.
All right, after Evil Geniuses and Luminosity declined to join the Rainbow Six League again for the Pro League Season 12, it now leaves the league with 8 teams as opposed to the originally advertised 10. It's because the players own the spots in the league, not the organizations. LG and EG players will become free agents following this season unless one of the 8 orgs decides to acquire their roster.
Now, this is interesting because Rainbow Six Siege as an esport is like a B tier, right? It's right on the cusp of being able to be in like the sunlight with all the other really big ones. This is such a big setback for making them be like a serious contender. Especially because during all these leaks coming out, according to sources, Luminosity players did not meet with any LG employees during their entire time at the organization. So essentially these guys were owned by this team and they never talked to them. They never saw their bosses once.
So what does this mean for that league now?
Especially because it just shows that nobody's interested. If they advertise that they're going to have 10 teams and they can barely scrape 8 together, I don't think that there's much more of a lifeline going on. A, for the Rainbow Six Siege esports like competitive community, but also going forward, are they going to be able to compete with Valorant and the brutal assault that Riot's about to launch on them?
That's it for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thank you, Robbie, for that update. Now, we talked earlier a little bit about the Overwatch League already, but I want to go back one more time. One of the new rules instituted this season was around certain heroes being banned out each week. And I also heard that this week's bans was picked by a cat.
All right, yes. So the ban system is something new that was instituted. You know, when you play Overwatch, you select certain heroes to play in the game. And now each week, they look at which heroes have been played the most, and they do sort of like a lottery draw to see which ones can't be played for the following week. With the COVID-19 crisis going on and everyone playing and casting from home, one of the lead desk analysts, Zoe, the way that they did it, instead of putting it in the little bin that they normally have in, you know, like a little lottery thing and spinning it around, she placed the cards face down on the ground and her cat would come up, and the first one that the cat touched would be the one that got banned out.
Oh, this is just like those internet videos they have out where people are stuck in their house and they're playing tic-tac-toe with a turtle.
The best part is that for the past few weeks since they've been doing this, people have been wanting a certain hero named Mei, who's very, very annoying to play against, banned out so we could get a different style of play. And everyone who's picked for the DPS heroes, which is what Mei is, hasn't picked her. I mean, it's random, obviously, because they're just taking tickets out of a bin.
Yeah.
But the cat finally banned her out, and everyone on social media is like, thank you, this cat has delivered us from the Maypocalypse. And I think going forward that maybe banning by cat is the way that we should go about it.
The cat is the hero that nobody ever suspected, huh?
I think what's going to be really funny is if it does like make better bans, because so far, I mean, there hasn't been too much outrage on some of the heroes that have been banned, but I know there have been lots of people that haven't been happy because they continue, like Robbie was saying, to ban the people that had a much lower chance of getting banned for whatever
reason.
Well,
they've also changed up a bit before, because before it was any hero that had 10% usage or more would have 6 tickets put in, right? So there was no weight to it. You had just as much of chance of banning someone who's been used 10% as someone who's been used 95%.
And the tickets are like raffle tickets.
Exactly. Yeah. So now it's weighted. If you've only been used 10%, I think you get 1 ticket put in. If you have a hero that's being used 95% of the time, they get 4 tickets put in there. So this should help to even it out a little bit better, and I think overall provide a much more entertaining match atmosphere, both for the players and for those watching from home.
See, that's all you have to do. Leave it to a cat. A cat will be able to figure it out better than people can.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought dogs were smarter than cats.
Or maybe we're just dumb. I don't know.
Maybe we're all just kind of dumb. All right, which releases are we most excited about dropping in the next month? We have a few hot titles coming out. We'll let you know about those in a bit. But first, have you ever gamed for so long you've fallen asleep and awoken with the controller still in your hand? We're talking gaming binges when we get back on Checkpoint XP.
Never miss anything again.
No way.
Stay on top of your game by heading to CheckpointXP.com to get in the game.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Checkpoint XP with James, Robbie, and Weirdbeard. Broadcasting from the Beasley Media Studios. Esports and video games live here.
Oh my God!
Checkpoint XP.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're hanging out with me, James Campbell, along with Robbie Landis, and the number one CSGO rage quitter in the building, Weirdbeard.
You know what's worse is, especially because now that the ESL is playing major matches again.
Yeah.
When you watch people that are so much better than you are, and it just makes you not want to play the game
at
all.
Makes you so angry.
Yeah, because it's these people are just like clicking on pixels and stuff, and they're just amazing. And I get on a game and I go 0-20,000.
Well, you know, we actually played some Overwatch over the weekend as well. So I actually wanted to ask you, how does it feel to play a game you actually have fun in?
It was
it was an experience I wasn't used to.
We had a good time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Even though you're terrible at it.
And maybe that's why it was so much fun.
Because of the coronavirus, that leaves a lot of gamers with a lot of extra time on their hands. Have you ever gamed for so long you've fallen asleep and woken up with the controller? What's the longest gaming binge you've ever gone on?
Oh, man. I don't know that I can put a time on it, but, you know, back in, like, high school and even through college, like I'd do all-nighters. Like, come home from class, sit down to play something. Usually it was an online game, you know, one of the massively multiplayer ones where there isn't really an end. You're just always...
Like a World of Warcraft.
Exactly. You're just always progressing. And, I mean, yeah, I'd play till the sun come up. There was actually one month where I got my sleeping schedule so mixed up that I would basically wake up and go to my classes at, like, 2-3 o'clock. and then come home and play into, you know, the morning and basically go to bed at like 9 a.m., sleep through the day, and then go up and go to my night classes and come back home and just repeat it
now,
all over
again.
Now,
is that a gaming binge, or is that an addiction problem?
I mean, where's the difference? That's the other
Fair
thing.
Enough.
Like, nowadays, like, I wake up even working from home. You know, I play games while I work, so I'm never not... I'm never not gaming. Sometimes it's multiple games at once. I'll be playing World of Warcraft. I'll be watching, you know, Westworld Season 3, and I'm playing Animal Crossing and reading a comic at the same time. Guys.
You are like the king of multitasking.
I'm getting it done, living my best life.
Holy cow.
Beat that.
Yeah, for me, I'm not a big binge gamer. Like, I can play a game for a couple hours. I need to take a break, but then I can come back. I would say probably my longest gaming binge, maybe 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, those are rookie numbers. Yeah. You need to pump those numbers
up. Get those
up.
Numbers up. Well, like, so, for example, like, the game that I've binged the most would be Fallout 3. So I'd go on
That's
a quest.
Not bad.
Yeah,
yep.
I'd go on a quest. Yep. Once
okay,
the quest is done,
it.
I would take a break. Then I would come back. I'd get prepared for the next quest, repair my weapons, make sure I have ammo, all that stuff. Kind of flip through the strategy guide to make sure I know what I'm up against.
Oh, you're one of those people. You're a cheater.
Yeah, that's not a cheater.
I call my girlfriend out for it when she goes. She'll like start looking at something online, be like, where do I find this from? Where do I get this from? And I'm like, you're cheating. You go
that's
and you find
cheating.
It yourself. It's a little bit
cheating. It's not cheating. It's using all the resources at your fingertips to your advantage.
Okay.
That's not cheating. What about you, Weird Beard?
It's an open book test.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, because I've done a lot of them. Like, I remember after one really bad breakup in my early 20s, I lived in Philadelphia.
Therapy gaming.
Yes,
yeah.
I had no family, no friends.
Oh, man.
Like, I lived by myself in a city where I
just
lost my
weird
job.
Beard.
Yeah, and, like, so I think days
unemployed,
turned into nights.
Bored,
yeah, like, what was there
scared.
To do? I think that there was... I think there was at one point where I played through Final Fantasy X where I wouldn't turn the PlayStation off. I'd just pause it and then go to sleep for a little while.
Then like
wake back
naps,
up. Yeah. And then you just wake back up and start playing. So it wasn't maybe consistent, but it 100% was like, I wouldn't say that I stopped playing within it.
So when it comes to like a gaming binge, could you binge on a game that you maybe just picked up for the first time?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, depending on the game, especially if it's like an RPG or something with a story type element, I can absolutely like normally I'll dive into those and I won't come up for air until I've finished it or until I have to like eat.
Are you one of the guys that wears a diaper and you just go to the
bathroom
in the living room?
I'm not going to go quite that far.
Okay, but that brings up a very important discussion here. When you're binging, what is your snack food of choice that has to be with you the entire time?
Oh, I do, the scoops, the Totino scoops.
Okay.
Right? And then I'll get both the cheese and the salsa and sour cream, and you mix them all together to make like a sauce.
Oh, my God.
Wait, you mix them all separately, or do you take your chip and you dip into 1, 2, and 3 and
no,
then take a bite?
I'll mix them all separately and
you
stir
mad
it up.
Man.
So it's a dip. It's a dip.
Oh, man. It's called just queso, I think.
James, what are you picking up from the 7-Eleven before you go to game?
I'm actually hitting the roller grill. I'm going to get some buffalo chicken logs.
Oh, God.
And possibly if they have them, they're not available in all the areas. I know you guys,
it's
are,
a
you guys
snack.
Are always
You're
looking at me like I'm
no,
a weirdo.
Because we're like, what do you snack on? You're like, I'm going to go, I'm going to get me a meal. I'm just eating dinner.
Well, I'm getting a snack after I go play for 3 hours. I'm taking my break. I'm going to go get my snack from the
James
local
is like,
convenience
I just bring
store.
In a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah. It's not that crazy. the size of a hot dog. But I would get a buffalo chicken log, or I would get a cheeseburger log.
Dude, if I had to choose between somebody, I'm going with James. I'm sorry, Robbie.
you have terrible taste in Girl Scout cookies, too, so it's fine.
I just have great taste in culinary invention. That's
okay,
all.
Okay, sure.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Now, you're looking for something to do this quarantine? How about you compete in an esports tournament for charity? The Shutdown Showdown is a weekly Apex Legends tournament with all proceeds benefiting No Kid Hungry. You can check it out every Tuesday in April. It only costs $10 to sign up, and you can sign up solo or with your friends. You can check it out at ugcevents.gg/shutdownshowdown. Now, speaking of binging, especially if you're stuck in lockdown during the quarantine and all that kind of stuff, we have a list of games that are very long, a lot of RPGs that you could actually burn a lot of time on and actually binge very easily.
Yeah, so this list comes to us courtesy of The Guardian. You were actually the one that found it for us, James. A lot of great stuff on here, but yeah, the idea is just these like epic games that are going to take, like, you know, 100-plus hours to work your way through. Best time to do it. So we're going to go through a few of these here, one of which, Weird Beard, I believe you've actually started in on recently, and that, of course, is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I have. It's like a Grand Theft Auto, but with less filler and more fun. Oh, yeah.
And it's Zelda themed.
Yeah, like, you can break your weapons, so you're always constantly having to pick up new weapons.
Okay, please do not say that like it's a selling point. That is the worst thing. Always having to go back and find your favorite weapon after it breaks. Because you can't just repair it.
No.
It breaks, you have to go find a new one. That is the worst part of that game.
I don't know. It's fun. It's interesting. You want to like be playing and then look up and it's 5 hours later. Breath of the Wild is definitely one of the better ones.
See, I wish they would have sold that game to me because I love The Legend of Zelda. I love the franchise. But Breath of the Wild, for whatever reason, it didn't appeal to me. And plus, at that point in time, I was at the age where I wasn't with all my friends that are into games. And we all kind of went our separate ways. So it was kind of just the solo gamer.
Yep. Another one that I'm going to recommend here, Monster Hunter World. 15 million copies sold. It's one of the best-selling Capcom games of all time.
I think it's their best one.
It is, yeah. And so the idea is you basically go out into this, you know, this undiscovered world with your weapon of choice, whether it's a giant bow, a huge battle axe, you know, dual blades, and you have to fight giant monsters. And that's all it is. Little person with cool weapons fighting monsters. You can jump on their back and have to take them down. And then you get to harvest their parts to take it back to camp to make new armor and weapons.
So you're like a butcher, too.
It's so cool. And it's a lot of the same gameplay over and over again, but it's so addicting being able to, like, just take on these mammoth creatures. Fallout 4 is also on here. James?
I've tried it, but I...
That's right. You couldn't get into it because it had the whole, like, sort of sim building thing where you could, like, make your own encampments, right? Wasn't that what turned you off?
Some of the stuff, I was just over it. I don't know. After Fallout 3, none of the Fallouts have really, like, struck a chord with me the way that one did.
Okay. If you want to play something kind of weird, Death Stranding is on the list.
That's an understatement.
It's like, do you have any...
I've seen it. This is the one with Norman Reedus.
Yes.
Likeness is the main character. He's got the baby in a bag.
Guillermo del Toro is also in it as well.
All right, well, there's some long games you could spend a lot of time binging on. If we missed them, let us know what you think would be a great game to binge on while you're locked up during the quarantine. Which new releases are coming out that we're most excited about in the next month? We have a few hot titles coming out. I'm going to let you know about those when we come back on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Callie with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. Since COVID-19 has wrought havoc on the esports scene, I'll be letting you know what's being played and what's been canceled. Starting in the Overwatch League, there will be no homestands for the foreseeable future. All matches will be played online. Turning our attention to the spring split of the League of Legends LCS, matches are once again being played online. The spring split finals are planned to be held at the LCS studios, and Monday Night League has been suspended until further notice. The Capcom Pro Tour has canceled their stop in Brussels this month, with the next scheduled event being Armor Break on April 25th in Toronto. April 18th was supposed to play host to the Mix-Up in Lyon, France, however that event has been postponed until July 18th. May should have played host to DreamHack Dallas, however that event has now been moved to August 14th through the 16th, shortly after the rescheduled DreamHack Summer. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, and remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. You can find that over at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get in the game.
What are we witnessing?
The number one esports and video game radio show, Checkpoint XP, where gaming lives.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. You're listening to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and the only guy in the room that no matter how many times or how long he streams, he still has unexplainable issues with streaming technology. That would be me, James Campbell.
I found it funny that I don't know if you posted it on Facebook or tweeting it, but you said streaming is the only thing where you can do the exact same thing every time and never have it work out the same.
100%. That was me. I had an issue with it last week. I ended up having like old man technology rage and I busted a controller.
You know what the funniest part of it too was the way that it showed up in my Facebook timeline. First I saw you being like, oh, I can't stream today. Everybody go home. This is terrible. And the post right underneath it was you like, oh, never mind. It started working. Come on, guys.
It was
like,
literally an act of God happened. Nothing was working. I'd be like, I'm going to give it one more try, and everything fell into place, and it's like manna from heaven. Everything worked. All right, you got a lot of new releases coming out in the month of April. What are some of the hottest ones on the list? Robbie, what do you got going on?
Yeah, we're actually going to go through a few things here for you to look forward to playing during April here. And the first one is called Hyper Parasite. This comes out April 3rd for just about everything. PC, PS4, Xbox, and the Switch. Not really my type of game, but it's a roguelike twin-stick shooter brawler. It's like kind of one of those like top-down sort of things. If you want to go back far enough, like Asteroids or Grandia, I think was another one.
Yeah, I mean, there's more like it's closer to Enter the Gungeon, which is a more recent game there. But it looks fun. This is kind of like in my bag, the games that I get made fun of for.
It's definitely
kind of like Smash TV.
Yeah, it's very much like a pick it up and play whenever you have a moment type of thing. You know, it's not something you're really gonna sit down and I feel like dedicate a lot of time to. There's another one here called Someday You'll Return on the PC. Comes out April 14th. Now, this is something I think me and James should try this out. It's an upcoming psychological horror game.
Oh, it's gonna be
draws
too scary.
Inspiration from Silent Hill, Outlast 2, The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, and Resident Evil 7.
That's gonna be tough, especially with Resident Evil 3 coming out.
Yes, that's right. Actually, I actually did jump ahead a week here, so that's my fault. April 3rd also. Resident Evil 3, the remake.
The reviews have already come out for this, and it looks phenomenal. I downloaded and played the demo. It was freaking rock solid, especially for being a demo. I was anticipating, like, it'll be okay.
You know what? Coming out on the 3rd, and with Someday You'll Return actually being, 11 days later, you know, almost 2 weeks, people will have beat Resident Evil 3 in that time, and if they're looking for some more of like that horror fix, this might be something that if it comes across their radar, that they might be interested in. So
this Someday You'll Return looks spoopy.
It does. It looks good. It looks high-level AAA quality, which is weird.
Like a nightmare.
Yeah, because it's actually something that hasn't came across my radar until
I saw
this list. That would be great!
You just want me to cry in front of you.
I hate these games, too, so it'll be a bonding experience for us. Unfortunately, if you were looking forward to the Fallout 76 Wastelanders expansion was supposed to come on the 7th, that was actually delayed. We do not have currently a release date on that, but it's been pushed back due to the COVID-19 crisis.
Well, I'd rather they push it back instead of...
That's right. The one I'm looking forward to, April 10th, the Final Fantasy VII remake. If this is something that you maybe don't feel like you're not sure if you're going to like this a whole lot, you don't want to put a whole lot of time, effort, or money into it, I actually plan on attempting to stream my entire playthrough. If I'm playing it, I'm streaming it. So if you want to see what it's about, you make sure that you are following Checkpoint XP at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Another one here that I've never heard from is called Deliver Us the Moon. Comes out on April 24th. It is a sci-fi epic.
I've seen some stuff from this one.
I actually think that I might have played this. I don't think it had a name yet out at E3 last year. The trailer that I've watched doesn't seem too spooky, but it looks very similar to what I played, which was very spooky.
It seems close to like a Dead Space.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, you're basically like on a space station in the moon. Everyone else has like disappeared, and you have to figure out why.
Are there any non-scary games coming out in April? What am I going to do? Hide under the blanket?
Final
hide under
Fantasy
my bed?
Final Fantasy VII Remake isn't a scary game.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you can try that one, or the Hyper Parasite. We have another one here. All right, this is for you. Predator Hunting Grounds.
Okay, I would play that.
All right. So
even if it was scary, just because it's Predator.
Yeah, right. So from what I've seen, I don't know if it's supposed to be Battle Royale, but essentially you have a squad of people who are trying to do some sort of objective, right? And then there's one person who plays as the Predator.
Nice.
And you have to hunt them down.
Do you remember I was so hype about, not this game, but a game that's very similar, Evolve, which was supposed to be the biggest game, and it's going to be just like this. I have high hopes for this because, Dead by Daylight is another game.
I was just going to say, it's like Dead by Daylight.
Yes, but with the Predator and I think, like, Marine combat people. Mm-hmm.
Cool. You got me on that one, Robbie.
Yeah, for sure. We also have Trials of Mana coming out, which is another classic JRPG.
Hell yeah.
The Trials games, I'm sorry, the Of Mana games were very, very popular. And those are basically coming out in just about everything, including the Switch, which is a great place for it. You can pick that up on April 24th. This next one, this should be right up Rick's alley as well. Azure Striker Gunvolt.
I'm in. I don't care what it is. You have a Gunvolt, I'm there.
It's also known as Armed Blue Gunvolt in Japan. It is a 2D side-scrolling action platformer game.
For the noob in the room, what is a Gunvolt?
It's a good question. What's a Gunvolt?
Anime Rick, stuff.
It's anime stuff.
Perfect. Anime stuff. Like, it literally is just lots and lots of guns, anime, and I hope there's magic power somewhere in there, and
probably it's anime trash is what it is. That's on April 28th, along with, this is something I might pick up, Gears Tactics. If you're familiar with XCOM, which is like, you know, it's kind of like a top-down, you have units that you're controlling on like a turn-by-turn basis. It's very like tactical.
Okay.
It's basically that type of gameplay, but in the Gears of War universe.
Really?
Yeah. So
is it similar to when Halo, like Halo had like a...
Yes, okay. I believe it is.
Like
I believe
a strategy,
it is.
Like almost like the original Warcraft, mm-hmm, or Starcraft.
That's how it's... Yeah, that's how Halo actually started, was doing their top-down like turn-based one.
What? No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Halo Combat Evolved? No, it was a first-person shooter first.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I lied. But still, that's one of the early versions of how
you're
trying
place.
To feed me like a fake gaming
right.
news.
I don't think I so. Here's one for Weird Beard, also on April 28th, Moving Out. This looks like Overcooked, but the idea is that you and a partner have to move all of your furniture out of the house. It's a top-down type thing. It shows two people like trying to run across a road with like traffic coming in, or they're taking a bed out and like knocking stuff all over the place. This is definitely a Weird Beard
The
title.
Art style looks like Animal Crossing. It's cute as hell. It's coming out on the Switch. I'm sold. I'm into it.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed that they found a way to take the things you hate to do in real life
and make them fun.
And then they make them fun in a video game. Why can't just Moving Out be that much fun in real life?
Yep. Here's a big one, too. At the end of the month, April 30th, isn't necessarily a new game, but Fortnite Chapter 2 Season 3.
Yep.
So all you Fortnite players, you parents with Fortnite kids out there, get that credit card ready, because that's going to be the day they're going to be asking for it.
Wow.
And then finally... to be determined has not yet been announced, but Minecraft Dungeons is also supposed to be coming out at some point here in April.
Do you get excited for a Minecraft game?
No, mine, gonna be completely honest with you.
I have no idea.
I just know it's coming out, and there's a lot of kids out there who love Minecraft, so parents, be ready to fork up some cash at some point.
While we're all stuck in quarantine, we here at Checkpoint XP want to take some time to recommend a free game for you to check out each week. This week on Steam, you can get the 2013 reboot of the Tomb Raider series for free. Get it while you can.
Oh, I absolutely 100% recommend this. This was, you know, a lot of people talk about how great God of War is, the most recent God of War was resetting the series. That's what this Tomb Raider did for the Tomb Raider series. I cannot recommend it enough. And if you love it, you can then pick up, I believe there's been two more games since then that you can pick up as well. Absolutely amazing.
All right, sounds like a great option. You can't beat the price. It's totally free. Help keep your mind off of things while you're stuck in quarantine. That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening on your radio station. Make sure you head on over to checkpointxp.com and check out the Checkpoint XP On Campus show. Get the latest info on what is going on in the world of collegiate esports. Norris Howard hosts alongside Jacob Brothers and Daniel Agbuya. New episodes every Thursday at 10 p.m. Big thank you to Robbie Landis, Weird Beard, and producer Callie for helping put this episode together. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Checkpoint XP and Facebook. We'll talk to you again next week. Stay healthy, stay safe, and don't let the coronavirus get you down.